Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, one of the things that I really enjoy doing in the summer is to take in the wake that comes from a boat as I sit on the side of a lake. It's mesmerizing. It's relaxing. It's soothing. Think about it. Now, what I've realized about the wake that comes from a boat is that you can actually tell quite a bit about the boat just from the wake itself in the water. If the wake is in a straight line, you can tell that the boat is going from point A to point B and has purpose in what it's doing. If, for example, the wake is flat and smooth, it tells you the speed of the boat. If that wake is wavering in any way, it can indicate that there are mechanical problems, perhaps an engine failure of some kind. And if that wake has a steep climb to it, it gives an indication of the drag that comes from the boat. Now, I'm not an expert, but what I've realized and read is that an expert can actually tell pretty much what boat leaves behind what kind of wake. A wake is true to the boat. It gives its identity. It tells many attributes about that boat. Now, this weekend, we're focusing in on the fruit of the Spirit called kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And this week, you should have received from your Peace family a package from us. Just a little way to say you are missed and loved by your church family. A carnation and also a letter from us. Now, you might not have seen the person that delivered it to you, and you might not have realized the transportation that was used to bring that gift to you. But you see, in that little gift, you experienced the wake that came from one little tiny act of kindness from our church. And you can tell that you, I hope you know, and you can tell that you are loved and you are greatly missed. If you are like me, you're probably not traveling as much as you used to, but you are traveling about in some way. You're probably going to the grocery store and interacting with the clerk behind the counter in that plastic piece that's right in front of you. You see, the little look that you give, the expressions that you make in the grocery store, you're leaving behind a wake. You're traveling outside, perhaps, walking in the park or walking down your street and engaging with people who are across the street. And by doing so, you're leaving a wake. You're also traveling all over the place on the internet. That's why you're tuned in here. You have to be tuning in and traveling on the internet just to watch this online service. The social media posts you make, the places that you go on the internet, you're leaving behind some kind of wake. Now, here's the thing. Someone who doesn't even know you physically, or someone who's not even met you, but they've experienced the wake that you've left behind at the grocery store or on social media or on the internet, they've seen what you've done, they will form an opinion about you and what kind of person you are. And just as it's true that the wake of a boat is 100% true in identifying the boat, so also what you leave behind in the places that you go is 100% true to who you are and what you are about. And today we want to be about loving kindness, leaving behind that wake everywhere we go in our life. Now, kindness. You might be thinking, oh, that's an easy topic. Everyone talks about that no matter where you go. It's a low bar. Anyone can do it. It's easy. Random acts of kindness and this sort of thing. But actually, that's not true, according to the biblical understanding of kindness. Kindness actually is a high bar that is rarely practiced by people. Kindness primarily means two things in the Bible. First of all, The Greek word is related to genuineness. Genuineness. Someone might do a kind act on the outside by saying a kind word, and it looks kind, it seems kind, but on the inside, they're burning up, and they don't really mean the words. That's not kindness in a biblical sense. It's not genuine. Kind of like this. Your spouse makes you dinner and you compliment them about what has been made, but then deep down you're thinking, why wasn't it made an hour earlier? Or kind of like going on to someone's Facebook page and liking what they say or giving a word of encouragement, but on your side, rolling your eyes. That's not kindness. Or kind of like telling someone that they've done a good job, but deep inside your heart thinking, I could have done better. See, the Apostle Paul, when talking about kindness, is very concerned that it bubbles up from the inside, from our heart, and then it goes out. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul puts it this way, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. That's a high bar. Hardly being practiced today, genuineness that comes deep within our hearts, not just outward words that are surface level. Now, kindness means something else in the Bible. It actually is akin to the word for friendship. Now, again, you might be seeing this and thinking, my goodness, friendship, that's easy. I've got 500 friends on Facebook. I go to the grocery store and I say hi to like 15 people. I was one of the most popular people in my high school about 30 years ago, whatever it is. But again, that's actually not the definition of friendship that is related to kindness in the Bible. The friendship that's mentioned in the Bible that's related to kindness is something that is deep and long-lasting. Like, consider this example. You have a friend that you've shared great memories with. You went to the same high school, and your friend finishes your sentences, and you have some of the same jokes, and you have raised your children together, and you have taken epic trips together with your families. Now, there's the good in the relationship, but with every relationship, there's also the struggles. Perhaps you had a phone call where you disagreed about something. Or there was that time that you had an argument when you were playing sports and you didn't talk for a couple years. Or there was a time when your kids just didn't get along and it was kind of icy for a little while. Now, friendship, in a biblical sense, happens when you take both the good and the bad over many, many years and many, many experiences, and you say, I would do it all over again, the good and the bad, with you. It's sticking to somebody, not just clicking that you're a friend for a day or two or even a year. It's sticking with people for many, many years, many, many experiences. That's a high bar. And very, very few people today are practicing that kind of kindness. Now, as I think about this, the attributes of kindness, I'm reminded of one of my favorite stories that I think shows what God's kindness in the fruit of the Spirit is all about. It comes from a monster movie. Of course, I'd mention a monster movie on Mother's Day weekend. It fits so well. The movie The Bride of Frankenstein. Maybe you've seen this movie, but it displays a beautiful friendship. It's about the monster Frankenstein. He is a hideous man. He's scary and lanky. He's awkward. He's to be avoided at all costs. He is a freak of nature and a problem to society. And Frankenstein, of course, in the village, he doesn't have any friends. They're out to get him. In fact, at one particular scene in the movie, the people mob Frankenstein and they want to burn him at the stake. He's desperate for a friend. And then in the movie, during that time while Frankenstein's being mobbed, there's another man in the village who also is in need of a friend. And he's praying to God on his knees, God, bring me a friend. And it just so happens that as the mob is chasing Frankenstein and the blind man, the man's blind in his home, is praying for a friend, Frankenstein stumbles into the man's home. They become friends. They shake hands. They smoke a cigar. And then you see the camera goes to the wall and it shows a crucifix. You know, I think in a lot of ways you and I in our friendships can relate to Frankenstein in maybe a quirky way that maybe you haven't considered. You know, most of us in our friendships, we kind of want a friend who's going to be blind to our flaws, our mistakes, our past, the painful things that we've done. We hide our judgments. We hide our temper. We hide the decision that we made. We hide a divorce. We hide a moment when we harmed someone. My friends, biblical Christianity says that you can have one friend that can see you as you are, your mistakes, your flaws, and this one friend will remain your friend and show you loving kindness. In our gospel text from Luke chapter 14, it's Jesus. Jesus says those words that were read here this morning. Jesus says this: when you have a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends. Go and invite the poor and the crippled, the blind and the lame. And you see, my friends, those weren't just wise words of Jesus. Those words were indicative of the style of ministry that Jesus had. He saw the woman at the well, and she knew how many husbands she had. He knew the Mars and the difficulties of her past. He showed her loving kindness and friendship. He saw his closest disciple that had betrayed him, Peter. He looked into his eyes, and he gave him his ministry. Go and feed my sheep, Peter. You're my friend. Loving kindness. And Jesus did invite the crippled, the lame, the poor, the blind. He ate with them. And my friends, he sees you. He sees your mistakes. He sees you without your masks. He sees you without your makeup. He sees you as you are. And he loves you and he extends the hand of friendship. And then ultimately, Jesus went to the cross to die for you. Now, Frankenstein, he and Jesus could be compared in a quirky little way. Frankenstein was attacked by a mob and died for his imperfections and flaws. But Jesus was different. He was attacked by a mob and put on a cross and died for his perfections, so that you could be his forever friend and he could pour out his loving kindness that's genuine and that is about true friendship. You see, that one act over 2,000 years ago of loving kindness of Jesus was nothing more than a wake. It went off and touched people that never saw Jesus. 200 years after he lived, they experienced that wake of kindness. They became followers of Jesus and took in his love. And then, you see, they started their own wake and spread kindness in their communities. And now 2,000 years later, here in Philomath, in the year 2020, in dreadful times, in a time of pandemic and difficulty, see, Jesus' wake reaches you. You experience his loving kindness no matter what. It's genuine. And it's a friendship that will last forever. Now you have a chance to set a wake in all those places that you go. It's our challenge this morning. In the grocery store, in the park, on the roads that we go, that we travel and ride our bike, on the internet. Now, having heard this message today, we ask that you just take a few moments and consider the questions that are here posed for you. Three questions to rate yourself. Take this time to pause, and then after you pause, we'll continue our worship service with our prayers for today.